There's nothing wrong with your podcast player. Do not attempt to adjust the volume. Hello and welcome to Studio 2009. I'm, of course, TFU and Mike. Joining me, as always, is Steve Megatron. Hello, sir.
Hello.
And in this episode, we are at episode 5 now. Yay, 5 episodes, and we're not canceled yet.
They can't cancel us.
We are debuting what I'm calling podcast approach. I mentioned this at the end of episode 4. Basically, I have come up with 25 questions to interview fellow podcasters, from being a listener to having their own show to being podcast producers. And because this is a new show for Steve Megatron and myself, even though we've told this story for the last 11 years, we might as well tell it again and give you guys our own podcast approach. I don't know if it's going to be in this episode or the first guest episode, but I did have our good friend TV's Mr. Neil put together a little clip for us to introduce the whole segment thing of podcast approach. I'll have to send that to you in the aftermath of this, see what you feel about it. But anyway, I want Studio 2009 to be something, as we've said before, refreshing for us, refreshing for our listeners, and something different. And I figured if we talk to fellow podcasters about how they got started and how they approach it, it might help us find new ways of approaching the way we do it in the future.
True.
And this is not going to be an every month kind of thing, even though for the first 2 months, episode 5 and episode 10 will be podcast approaches. But it might go every other month. It might go every couple of months. In between, we don't know. It just depends on how we feel about, you know, the topics we want to talk about each month and if we can line up a guest. What I've found is, now that I'm living on the west coast of the country, I'm aiming for more of the people that I know out here than the people I know back east. Not that I don't want to talk to the people back east. I do. But as we all know, time zones suck.
They do. I just recorded with somebody from the Eastern time zone, and I'm in Mountain.
Yes, you are. All right, so I guess I should let you go first on this. We're not going to be going through the questions. I just wanted to let everyone know that there is 3 sections. Of the first 8 questions are the beginnings. Question 9 to 14 are how people, you know, are listening. And then 15 to 25 are for the producing side of it. But basically, how did you get into podcasting? How did you find it? How long did it take you listening before you're like, I want to do this?
Well, I think I first discovered podcasts back in, I would say, 2005, because I listened to TF Wire.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember where I found it or how. Like, I think I was going through some Transformers fandom websites, and I'm not sure which one, because a lot of the ones I used to frequent are defunct now, but they had a link for TF Wire anyway, and so I went and listened to it, and I was like, oh, this is kind of cool, like audio player, you know, I can sit here and tune into this. Mm-hmm. And I was fresh out of high school the year before, and I didn't really, I think it was towards the end of 2005 I started listening to it. Because in 2006 I was listening a lot more, because I started working at a car dealership, and I was like, well, I got to do something other than just listen to music while I'm up here. So I listened to, oh, I think I listened to it even before TF Wire. I listened to This Week in Tech with Leo Laporte.
Yep.
And I think that was my first foray into that and the tech guy. Yeah, I listened to both of his shows for a while, and then I started adding other ones to the lineup. And I went directly to, I think I used iTunes to download them. I can't remember though. So I started doing other searches and started downloading a bunch of shows. And then I eventually in 2006, kind of late in there, joined TF Wire and did the War Stories podcast throughout most of 2007. And I did the Transformers, the movie episode with them and one of the episodes of Play On. And then I kind of caught the podcast bug after that, after my shows ended. And I was like, I want to do one. And so they were having like a pitch your own show, which funny enough was the initial concept for what became MWire and even to some degree what Cinema Geeks kind of did for a while there. And I called it Weekend at the Movies, and I did like a mock episode of it and sent it to them, and it unfortunately fizzled out. Like, it never made it to an episode, I think, because it needed critiquing and other things like that, and I wasn't honestly sure if I was going to be able to stick with it. So I ended up scrapping the idea. I still have, funny enough, the original test episode.
Oh, wow.
So, because I listened to it, I dug it up recently, and I was like, oh, I found it. And I listened to it, and it wasn't actually as bad as I thought, but it was the show I came up with before I started doing all things Transformers.
Right.
And then that, because that fizzled out, I'm like, well, I have my own website. I have ProducanEmpire.com. I'll make my own podcast. So I started working on all things Transformers, and I kind of ran it similar to TF Wire in a number of ways, but then I kind of, because it was partially solo and partially with somebody that was kind of obnoxious, and I distanced myself from him because he got in trouble with one of the Transformers sites for allegations against sexual harassment, and I was like, well, I want nothing to do with you, dude. And so I went solo until I met you on Twitter.
I just have to say this. I never knew that guy. I never met that guy. But when we did that that one episode of All Things Transformers, ATTF, This Is Your Life, I painstakingly went back through the first 7 episodes of ATTF. And some of those he was on, most of them he wasn't. But the ones that he was on, I was like, I'm an audiophile. I love listening to certain voices, and there are certain voices, doesn't matter who it is, it's in the voice. If I don't like the sound of someone's voice, probably not going to listen to it. Probably going to avoid it at all costs. And the way that dude sounded, I'm like, yeah, I could see him being on an episode of whatever show is on Investigation, like, you know, Investigation Discovery or Forensic Files or whatever, because yikes. Anyway, continue.
So after I went through that phase of going through Twitter and just kind of trying to find people, I was listening to, at the same time, This Week in Geek, because they were on CRNC 91.1 or something, 92.1 or something.
90.1 CRNC, the heat, the new heat or whatever. Yeah,
the new heat. And I remember at the time, it's kind of funny because I always favored one personality over the other. I won't mention which one. And then it reversed later. So it was kind of funny. But I also enjoyed the Double D segments on those, and I always wanted to do something like that, but I was never, like, creative enough with the creating the stories. But I was a frequent commenter on their show and constantly sent stuff in, and then I eventually took all the Double D clips and edited them into one episode.
And that's very cool. I remember that. And sent it to them.
And they were like, that's awesome. And those were some of my favorite, like, skits in the program. Like, I just loved the program at the time. And then, of course, you wanted to do a Transformers Generation 1 review show.
Yeah. My journey... Oh, boy. So, ever since I was... I'm just going to say 7 or 8, but I know it was earlier than that. Growing up in Boston, Massachusetts, or just south of Boston, actually... I would listen to the Lauren and Wally morning show on 105.7 WVBF at the time. It is now WROR. And I'm like, I want to be a fly on the wall in that studio. I don't want to have to do anything. If I have to bring them coffee or donuts or whatever from Dunkin' Donuts, fine. I'll go get the donuts. I don't care. I just want to experience it kind of thing. And from that point on, at that young age, I had gravitated to certain radio programs up until now, at 40 years old. And because I had moved around and I lived various places, by 2006, I was living in Louisville, Kentucky at the time. And I wanted to be able to listen to Lauren and Wally. Well, they were doing basically cut down versions of the radio show as podcast episodes. So I'm like, what the heck is a podcast? Okay, I have iTunes. I can at least look this up. So I looked it up. It was there. I found them. And then after that, I found World's Finest Podcast, which at first I thought it was actually Bruce Timm, Eric Radomski, Paul Dini, all the DCAU guys talking about their shows. It was not. It was two guys, one from Chicago, the other from somewhere in Georgia, Atlanta area kind of thing. Michael David Sims and James Doe. They had, at the time, they had released, I think, up to, this is close to the middle of 2007. I think it was about 10 or 15 episodes. They reviewed every single episode of every cartoon of the DC animated universe, starting with Batman, the animated series, Superman, Justice League, Batman Beyond, Justice League Unlimited, The Zeta Project, Static Shock, all that stuff within 100 episodes. So I had listened to that. I started corresponding with Mike and getting podcast tips from him. That's how I found out about Audacity and everything else. So that was 2007 into 2008. And by the end of 2008, I was working for a nonprofit childcare organization. I did basically the night shift work, so I had my days free. What am I going to do with all this free time, since I don't really have to work until like 5, 6 p.m.? And I'm like, I can do this. I can talk to myself. I can, you know, whatever. And I'll be the first one to tell you. First 8, 9, 10 episodes, until I brought on Peacock Michael and eventually you, the first 9 or 10 episodes of TFG1 podcast suck ass. They just do. I don't know. So yeah. I learned that I was not a solo show kind of person. I needed somebody to bounce off of. And once you and I met and started talking and we had similar interests and similar ideas and ideals and everything else, we're like, let's figure out how to start a network to have all this stuff all in one place. And, you know, it was 6 months, January to June. We spent the 6 months of 2009 making sure everything was as right as it could be to start the Geekcast Radio Network at www.geekcastradio.com.
Yep, and from there, it's history.
It is history. I remember I started with thank God I learned better. I started with a crappy Walmart headset mic. Oh, God. So bad. I actually still have that picture. I have a picture of me, like, looking off to the side so you can see, like, the left side of the headphone where the mic... Oh, God. Never again. And then eventually I found the CAD U37 condenser mic, and I've been using that ever since. It's funny, Michael David Sims from Earth2.net, it's Earth-2.net, his equipment broke or whatever, something happened to his microphone. So I pointed him in the direction of the one I had, and I know I pointed him in the direction of, I don't remember if I got it for him or if he bought it himself. I'm not trying to throw him under the bus if it was him that bought it for himself, but basically I'm like, here's what I'm using. It works the best that I know that microphones can work at this point. As far as I know, he still uses that. I could be wrong, but, yeah, so, and then eventually, thanks to our buddy Dustin Vancouver, Dustimus Prime, who we both kind of met through Twig because he was a listener of Twig, and by the time that happened, I think I was running Twig. He turned me on to these JVC noise-canceling headphones, and I've been using that ever since until, you know, I moved out here to Washington State, and sadly my computer didn't come with me, and now I'm semi-retired in podcasting and recording from a smartphone.
Yeah, it doesn't sound as bad as you would think, though.
No, it doesn't. It's not ideal, but it's much better than what it was, say, when Optimus Solo and I were recording Tooncast and he was on his phone. That was, you know, back in 11 years ago. You know, phones 11 years ago aren't as good as phones are now.
That is so true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my audio equipment started out with a $9 desk microphone and a, when I first started All Things Transformers, and then it changed later to a Logitech ClearChat Pro USB headset. And I used that for a while, I think about a year or two, and then I noticed that anytime I had to breathe, it was constantly getting in the way. So I did some research, and I talked to some people, and I bought a Blue Yeti, which I still have. Still works. Since then, I bought a microphone arm for it. I've bought a shock mount. I've bought a windscreen filter and a pop screen filter, so overall, it picks up the sounds I want it to, and not necessarily the extras. But it is quite nice having it because I can actually pull it. I don't have to like lean into it. I can pull it right up to my face, so it collects the sound that I'm wanting it to pick up.
Yeah, you'll have to have your wife at some point take a picture of you doing that, so I can see how the setup is. Because I would love to have, like, it's actually funny. You had said at one point off air that you wanted a certain microphone or something. And I'm like, oh, okay. Let me go look at this on Amazon. And I put it in my, did I put it in my wish list? I don't remember. Anyway, it was this certain microphone. One you don't have yet that you said, oh, I would love to have this at some point. And I'm like, ooh, I should probably upgrade too at some point. It was the Audio-Technica ATR2500X USB.
That's the one I want next. If this breaks, that's what I'm getting.
Yeah. And I was looking at this thing and I'm like, oh, that actually looks really, really cool. Obviously, you can do a mic arm and put a pop filter on it and all that good stuff. And yeah, sadly right now on Amazon, it's currently unavailable, which makes me mad, but that's the way Amazon is.
Yeah. Just have to find another listing.
True. Very true.
So where are we going next?
Let's see, where are we going next? We're going to the future. So, okay, one of the questions that we'll be asking other people as far as podcast listenership goes, as a listener, what defines a good podcast to you?
As a listener?
Yeah.
Let's see. As a listener, what defines a good podcast for me is when the hosts are engaging, the audio quality is not garbage, and they have a message to convey, something that I can learn from it, something that's entertaining with the or a theme that really interests me. And that's kind of about where I go with it. Like, I pretty much stick with, like, tech podcasts, occasionally pop culture. I don't listen to that big of a variety of podcasts. I mean, I listen to some parent stuff now, but, I mean, it's very infrequent. But I, overall, I enjoy, when I listen, it's typically shorter podcasts, but that's because I have a short, I mean, right now I'm not driving again to work. I was driving to work for about 2 weeks, but yeah, I mean, it's, I would say that's about it for me at the moment.
Yeah. For me, it's more of, like you said, the host has to be engaging. They have to, you know, do the best they can to convey what they want to convey. And honestly, for me, what defines a good podcast is what I've been listening to lately is more interview shows than anything else. I've been touting this since I found it last year. Music Talks with my buddy Terry Smith. He basically has his guests choose one song from each decade that they've been alive. And they then he then asks them, okay, why is this the song for this decade for you? What was going on in your life? I actually was on one of the episodes for his show. But I just love the format. I love the way he asks the questions. It's just super interesting. Another one for quote unquote review stuff. I've started to listen to Superhero Cinephiles with Perry Constantine and my buddy Derek Ferguson. They basically review superhero movies. I've listened to several, not a lot of them, but several of Michael Rosenbaum's Inside of You episodes where he interviews various people. Ooh, he's got a one with Bob Odenkirk. I should listen to that. I haven't listened to that yet. So anyway, you know, I think what got me going on that was he had interviewed Stephen Amell, and in the middle of the episode, Stephen had a panic attack, and it plays out on the podcast. He then cuts to a break, and Stephen had come back to finish the episode at a later date. I love the interview style shows. I still enjoy review shows, like I said, with Superior Cinephiles. But for me, it's all about voices, and it's all about the chemistry that the hosts have with each other. If I can clearly tell that the hosts are uncomfortable, as a listener, I'm going to be uncomfortable. So there's that. So another one of the questions that we'll ask at some point once we get actual guests on here, as a listener, do you start at the beginning of a podcast, the most recent episode, or do you jump around?
I think it depends on the show, to be honest.
Absolutely.
If it's a show where, you know, it's a review show, I start at the beginning. If it's a current podcast, if it's evergreen content, I may download 10 to 30 episodes and just log them on my MP3 player. Just based on the fact that I want to, you know, like, for instance, if it's a podcasting or a voiceover podcast, I'll download a plethora of them. But if it's like a, you know, one of our type podcasts, I typically download the newest one and listen to it. So.
Yeah, this is why, obviously we didn't do this with Studio 2009, but normally I do a podcast episode zero introduction thing. So I can point people to, okay, this is our introduction. Whatever other episodes we have, once you listen to this and get the genesis of what the show is, you can then skip to episode 5, episode 10, whatever your interests are. I will say it's been a long time since I marathoned a podcast. Back when I was listening before I was producing them, I had listened to the first, I think, 12 episodes of World's Finest Podcast within 2.5-3 days. That was back 2007. When I found out that another buddy of ours, Mike Laidman, and his friend Chris Blonsky had a podcast called Part-Time Nerds, Full-Time Dads, I think I blitzed through the first 43 episodes, listened to every single one of them, within 5 days. Because I hadn't heard Mike on a show in a long time, because Mike himself was not... He wanted a podcast with his wife, Laura, and she was kind of, I'm kind of done with that for now. And then he and his buddy Chris started Part-Time Nerds, Full-Time Dads. I will say, if anyone does listen to this show, listen from the beginning, because you get their journey of how their children were born. And it's very, very interesting. After that, you could probably skip around if you want, but I'm up to episode 75 currently on that show.
Cool.
Yeah. Okay. So another question. This is going to be very interesting, because I know what your answer is going to be, and I know what my answer is going to be. One of the questions as a podcast producer that we'll be asking guests is, as a producer, how much time do you put in the editing of the show?
Depends on the program.
That's true.
It depends on who's on it. Depends on what I'm trying to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
And how much time I have during the week. I mean, theoretically, right, they say you should put in double the edit time that you take to record. I never do that, but that's only because I don't have that kind of time. And
right,
being that these are, you know, hobby podcasts, not podcasts that we actually make money with, I don't put as much effort as I could. I know how to do the things, and I used to, you know, at some point, I used to edit a lot of stuff a lot more in depth than I do now. I just don't have the free time. And honestly, when I do, because, I mean, I'm still adjusting to a different recording dynamic. It seems like it changes every 3 to 6 months. I kind of go through this point where once in a while, if I feel so inclined, somebody swears too much, I'll throw in Barnyard sounds. Whereas other times I... enjoy the fact that depending on what method I record people in, whether it's Discord or Skype, if it's Discord, I can have them on separate tracks. I always try to level all the audio no matter what I'm on, so that right, added a little bit of time, because I used to not do that, but with all of the different remote recording setups and everybody's microphones, I try to make sure everybody's on the same level so that it's not a, oh, I can't hear it, oh, they're too loud, oh, there's, you know, so it's, I try to make sure I take care of that. But on a whole, it like I said, it kind of depends, but anywhere from like 30 to 45 minutes I usually spend.
Like you said, it depends on the show. And it depends on who's on the show and how long the show is. I need to work in somewhere where we can ask people, either as listener or producer, what do you prefer, short shows or longer shows? Because when I started listening, I was listening to 2+ hour podcasts. Again, I had all the time in the world. I still do now. However, sometimes the long shows can be long. My thought on long shows has always been, oh, I can pause it if I need to and come back to it. And I've done that on long and short shows. So I got to work that question in here somehow at some point. But it's just, it's one of those things where it was a time consumer. Like for me, when I'm listening to podcasts, I'm playing games, I'm writing, I'm doing whatever, that kind of thing. For me, on the editing side, I'm a glutton, because if we record, let's say, okay, so the next episode of The Pullbag is going to be episode 380, where you and I are going to take a look at Transformers Galaxies issues number 1 through 4, which is the Constructicons Rising arc. If I was editing that episode, it would probably take me, let's say we go 45, 50 minutes. It'd probably take me an hour and 50 minutes to edit it, because I would throw in so many little clips of Transformers. I would try to find clips of each of the Constructicon characters from the cartoon show to throw in somewhere throughout the show. I remember one of the gem episodes was a countdown of our favorite gem songs from the cartoon series, you know, from the 80s. And that took me, it ended up being, I think, an hour and a half or 2 hours. It took me 3 days to edit that thing because there was so much intricacies of putting in the music clips and making sure they fade in and out properly and making sure all the audio was leveled, making sure everybody sounded good and everything else. When we were doing countdowns and I was editing those at times, depending on how long the countdowns were, like you said, double or triple the edit time, it would, it, but I'm okay with taking that much time in the editing because I know I'm going through every single second of that audio. I'm not skipping. Basically, the reason why half the time I don't listen to our content once we record it, if I'm on the episode, is because I was there. I recorded the episode. I most likely edited, not right now, but in general, edited the episode. And when I edit the episode is when I listen to it. So I've already heard it by the time we've gotten to the point of publishing on the website and all the podcatching platforms and everything else. And plus, I hate the sound of my own voice, so there's that.
I can see that.
Listen to myself once. So, yeah, did you have anything else you want to bring up? Any other questions you want to preview for people before I kind of give people what this is going to be and then tease what we're going to do for the next episode?
If you've ever done any interviews with famous people, which was your favorite?
That's probably like asking you, which is your favorite, Ian or Nolan? Because for me, the...
It depends. Well, not saying as far as my kids, but as far as, like, interviews. Right.
Yeah. For me, I've mostly... I thank everybody who has ever taken the time to talk to us. There have been maybe one or two where it's been like, oh, that didn't go as well as I thought it would.
It's happened a couple of times. But overall, yeah. some of my favorite interviews, and I actually wish I could find the second one of this, but some of my favorite interviews were David Kaye. Every mm-hmm. time I've talked to him, I've enjoyed that. Ian James Corlett. For me, mm-hmm. David Soboloff, Rob Paulsen. I wish I could find that second file.
Oh, no, that's right. We're still missing that.
Yeah, I have 3 minutes. Okay. Lauren Lester was great. John Delancey, I enjoyed how it turned out. Kevin Conroy, by far one of my favorites. Pat Fraley, And Neil Ross.
Awesome.
Those were some of my favorite interviews that I've been a part of. Now, it's a little bit different if you consider, you know, writers, producers.
Mm-hmm.
Because Tom Ruger was, like, spectacular mm-hmm. to talk with.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
And, remember his name right now, it's blanking. I shouldn't be forgetting this, but crap, I can't remember. Bob Skuhr.
Oh yeah, Bob Skuhr.
Yep,
that was awesome. That was one of those interviews that apparently we didn't, and not throwing, like, we sent it to him and he's like, can I fix a few things on this? Well, that was the first time that ever happened to us.
I was telling somebody about that today. And funny enough, because I was telling him about a few of the interviews I've done, because I was like, oh, yeah, I've talked to John Delancey before. Like, I met him in person, then I interviewed him later. I says, and then there's a voice actor that I really like that's going to be at a audio drama for, you know, like audio drama podcasts and radio shows. Convention in October, and I was trying something terrible to go because the headliner is David Kaye.
Oh.
And I'm like, I need to go. Like, I have his autograph because I had him send it to me, but I want to meet.
Yeah, you want to meet the man.
Because I've met
Frank.
Well, I've met Frank Welker. I got a picture with him. It was very brief, yep. but I've also met Beast Wars.
Jerry Chuck.
No. Rat Trap.
And oh, Scott McNeil.
Scott McNeil. I've met him in person, talked to him for 10 minutes. Like, super, super nice actor. I would love nothing more than to talk to him again and meet him again, because he just takes the time with everybody.
Yeah.
To the point that his line cut into the panel. And he actually had people bring him food so that he didn't have to leave his fans.
That's awesome.
He stayed at his booth and he signed everything that everybody brought to him. And
that's very cool.
And took pictures with him. And then, you know, if you were like, I can do a voice, he's like, all right, bring it on, man. Like, just like, he was super cool about it. So, definite class act. But yeah, I any of the Beast Wars actors, if I had a chance to meet any of them, I would be so down.
very cool. For me, it's, I love them all. There are some that I just feel like the experience going back and trying to listen to it, I'd be like, what the heck was I thinking that at that point in time? I've already told the Maurice Lamar story, I think, on here about how we kind of broke the news that he was going to be voicing Mr. Freeze in Batman Arkham City, and we got the interview up before anything else, and then some unknown website picked up the news, and then IGN picked it up, and my thought was, oh crap, Maurice LaMarche is going to kick my butt. Luckily, he did not. Hopefully, we can have him back at some point. Kevin Conroy, I posted the Kevin Conroy interview on my Facebook a couple weeks ago, maybe a month ago, and basically said, out of all the interviews I've heard with Kevin Conroy, not because we did it, but because of the answers he gave us in this interview, this is my favorite interview that he has ever done, because I just feel like we asked him questions that allowed him, like, I know he's told his September 11th story all the time. Our version of it is my favorite because of where he's like, oh, can I curse or can I swear? I'm like, we're like, yeah, sure, go for it. We don't care. Tell the story how it's meant to be told. Very cool. Very cool. So podcast approach, like I said, I have a whole slew of podcasting friends that at some point will come on the show and we will ask them these 25, 26, 27 questions, however many there end up being. Right now it's at 25, but I have to put one in there about something else. Anyway, and we'll get other people's stories and how they get into it and how they listen and what they're listening to and what they're currently producing and where people can find their shows and their opinions on podcasting in general. So that's what's going to be happening with this segment in the future. Coming up next time here inside Studio 2009, we are going to have an excellent adventure of a bogus journey. That's right. For the first time ever, I'm going to watch both Bill and Ted 1 and 2 because I've never done it before. I've seen bits and pieces of the films, but I've never actually seen either one of them all the way through.
Yes, and you will like the movies.
Let's hope so.
They're actually pretty good. Very 80s.
Yeah, very 80s. Anything else you want to say before I hit the closing notes?
No, I think that's it.
All right. You can hear us on a bunch of platforms, Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, of course, the home where files exist, Spreaker, any other podcatcher you choose to use, Stitcher, TuneIn if people still use that or whatever else. You can follow us on Twitter. Network is at Geekcast Radio. The podcast is at It's Studio 2009. I am at TFG and Mike. What is your Twitter?
P21.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/Geekcast Radio Network. You can also check out Studio 2009 on Facebook as well. I believe if you search Studio 2009 podcast, you'll find us there. For now, I am TFU and Mike with
Eve Megatron Phillips.
You'll hear us back in the studio soon.
In a world, there, I said it, happy.